There's eight more sleeps until Christmas. Have you counted them yourself yet?
No.
Okay, there are eight more sleeps until Christmas Day. For most of us, every day of life is busy, but somehow it seems to go up a gear at this time of year. There are decorations to get out of the loft, or maybe you use a cupboard. And then you've got to put them up, because if you've got them out, you might as well do the next thing with them, might you? There's presents to look for your nearest and dearest, and you've got to buy them. There's cards to write, if you're doing that this year. There's food to buy and prepare. And there are programs to decide to watch on the television or to listen to on the radio. Whether you start taking action with this in November or even earlier, the second half of December is always, I think, quite frantic. So I'm really glad you've made it this afternoon, because it's frantic for all of us, isn't it, or for many of us. In the service so far, you've probably heard several messages. We've heard readings from the Bible. We've sung from really familiar carols. We've watched the puppets. We've heard a poem, and we've listened to the Colonel. There are plenty of people, and indeed some animals, in the Christmas story. All of them are important from their different perspectives. And that's how we get to know Jesus better, by hearing what people are saying from where they're living and what they're doing. These animals and these people also show us that the gospel is still relevant to worship God, to obey what God says, even though we're almost a quarter of a way through the 21st century. I'm sure we've all travelled away from home. You can give me a nod if you like. You've all travelled away from home. Some of us have done it lots of times, and maybe some of us less often. Personally, I've slept in places which are self-catering, bed and breakfast, all kinds of places. I've been in caravans loads of times. I've been camping quite a few times, and the crick in my neck only went a few weeks ago from the last time I was camping about 15 years ago. I've slept on trains maybe 30 or 40 times, and in recent years, I've slept in places like travel lodges, Airbnb, the occasional hotel, and even on a river cruise. Generally, if you've been to all these places like me, someone's going to greet you at reception. They're going to make sure you've paid. They're going to tell you a little bit about what's going on in the area. And then they're going to show you where your bed is and maybe where you're going to eat. These receptionists, I think, are really important, as well as the backroom staff that maybe took your original booking and who you speak to if you ring them up or send them an email. Reading through the Christmas story, I think that Bethlehem would have been chock-a-block with people when Mary and Joseph arrived there. Scores and scores of people would have gone there because of the census that the Roman authorities were telling them that they had to go for. And we heard from the reading that Annie brought that there was no place for them to stay in Bethlehem. Probably, I reckon, lots of people who were there in Bethlehem over that time would have stayed with the extended family. But for people like Mary and Joseph, who probably didn't have extended family there anymore, they had no close family there, so they had to stay in public places. They were looking, Mary and Joseph, for a public place to stay. And I can imagine a very pregnant Mary and a worried Joseph. I think that's a good sort of adjective for him, who was going to maybe four or five of the inns in Bethlehem. Maybe they were near each other on the same road. But each time the receptionist at the inn or the guest house or the hostelry said, "Sorry, we're full already." Didn't you see the sign that we put outside in Aramaic, Latin and Greek, so you wouldn't come in here and bother us? I bet Joseph each time would have thought, oh no, but. And then they'd go to another one. I imagine him trying to say things, but they'd just finally say, sorry, sir, we're already full. I imagine them trudging round a few streets in Bethlehem, and then eventually they stumble across a place. Perhaps the initial response was still the same. Sorry, we're full already. But then Joseph would have spoken to them and sort of pleaded almost. And they might have remembered that there was a place round the back, a stable, that would protect them from the elements at least. And it was there, in the stable, that Jesus, our Saviour, was born. The poem that Jill read talks about how sometimes we look at people and welcome them into our lives, if only for a few moments, because they're famous people like John Noakes. Or maybe they're influential people like a president. Or we know them because they're a loved part of the family. Jesus and his physical mum and dad were strangers in Bethlehem, but they had to be there. But it was obvious to them from the innkeepers and from the receptionists that they weren't welcome there. Sorry, we're full already. No one knew them there. Sorry, we're full already. They were just another poor couple amongst many with nothing special in the way they looked or the way they spoke. Sorry, we're full already. Each of us is an innkeeper who decides if there is room for Jesus to live in our lives. The Bible is very clear that every one of us needs to follow Jesus. Jesus came to earth as a baby and was born in a stinky stable. But Jesus didn't remain a baby, though. He came, like the Colonel said, because all of humanity needed a saviour. Lots of things have developed and progressed and moved on in the past 2,000 years. But even in 2023, we all need a saviour. We need someone to deliver us from the things that we have done wrong, because the Greek word for saviour also means deliverer and preserver. These things that we've done wrong, some people might call sin. Jesus is the Colonel's saviour. I'm really happy to say that Jesus is my saviour too. Remember, each of us is an innkeeper who decides if there's room for Jesus in our own lives. So today, give Jesus a second look. Even in the madness and busyness of a December afternoon, don't say, sorry God, my life is already full and I don't need you. Take a second look at Jesus and decide that there's room for Jesus in your life today. Christmas might mean many things to you. It's a time for family, a time for rest from normal work or activities. It's a time to enjoy going out or being entertained in various ways. But I hope that this Christmas will be a time when you see that Jesus is your saviour. May it be a time when instead of you saying, sorry God, I'm full already, may it be a time that you welcome Jesus into your life so you don't just worship him through singing carols, but you worship God in every aspect of your actions, your conversations, and your thoughts. God, I'm not full already. I need you in my life.